Welcome to Unsquish the Fish, the podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up. Fins up. Fins up.
What's up, Dolphins fans? Another episode of Unsquish the Fish. This is our Washington Redskins game recap show. We've been about three, starting to record this about seven, so it's been about 3 hours since we wrapped up the game. And obviously, even though we got the win, and it's good to get the win, we were all hoping for a little better showing, I guess, if you want to say. I'm here with Lewis Sung from FinManiacs.com. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Ron. How about you?
I'm all right, man. I mean, we got the win. It was the first game of the season. I guess there's things to work out, but I don't know. It's weird. This is the least pumped I've ever felt about a win. I don't know why that is. I guess I just expected to see a stronger looking team out there. What are your thoughts and how are you feeling about it?
It wasn't pretty, but I guess in today's NFL, you take what you can get. A win is a win in any given Sunday. We always say these sort of things, but then when our expectations aren't met, we kind of want to mope about it. So we won. That's really all that matters in the long run. It wasn't pretty, and it does give some concerns about other things on the Dolphins, like the defense and the offense and everything. So, you know, it's everything is subject to change as of right now, at least except for the quarterback and Sue and all that stuff, of course. But things need to be adjusted if we're going to make progress in this season, because Andrew Abramson of the Palm Beach Post tried to tell me that these Redskins are not going to just lay down and die, especially since it's the week one regular season opener at home. And I've been like, it's the Redskins. I didn't want to believe him. Turned out he was right. These Redskins fought back hard. I think the only reason we won that game, truthfully, is because they imploded on themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I would partially agree. I also feel like we started to figure some things out as well, although it still didn't look beautiful. Because in the end, our offense only scored 10 points. I mean, you know, Landry had the kickoff return, but we scored 10 points on the Redskins, and that's not the offense I was expecting to hear. Let's start with how the offense played in general. I mean, the first half, the time of possession was ridiculous. I can't believe they weren't beating us by 21 points, to tell you the truth. What did you think about it?
What was I supposed to think? It was like everything, pretty much everything so far, unless we like get into specifics, can be summarized as it was ugly. The Dolphins could not stop them. They were gashing us in the running game again, which is what Sue was supposed to cure, but it didn't work out that way because
not this game. It didn't.
He was getting chop blocked. He was getting double teams. And Cameron Wake and Olivier Vernon were pretty much no shows for the majority of the game. The one time Wake actually managed to get into Kirk Cousins, Jamar Taylor wound up getting called for holding, so that negated that and it made it go away completely. So, I mean, it was ugly. It was ugly. There really is not much analysis to do, at least not until you can get down into the tape. Give me some specifics about specific players, then I'll be able to tell you something else.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if you give me general questions, I have to give you a general answer. It's ugly. It was ugly.
Well, let's start with the play of Brandon Albert. He looked okay, but I'm going to really give him a pass. He has not played football for a while. So what did you think how do you think he looked? And then obviously he got injured, but he did come back, correct? Did I see that correctly? That
he did come back. He tweaked something or something. I don't even think it was his knee at the point. He just kind of walked off and was like, nah. So he a little annoyed that he had to come out at all. So no big deal. Albert's okay. He'll be fine going into the practices for the next games. But if we're going to give him a grade, I mean, I'll give him a B, but here's the thing. Even a 75% healthy Albert, which at this point I believe that's what he is, and I'm not even talking about health-wise, I'm talking about getting into football shape and being able to be Brandon Albert again.
Yeah.
But you can know, even at 75%, the drop-off from Albert to Linkenbach, who wound up being the left tackle when he went out just those few plays, was staggering. That was a staggering drop-off. And for some reason, the Dolphins didn't see it fit to put Dallas Thomas back at left tackle, even though they experimented with that in the preseason. And they could have put Billy Turner in at right guard and moved Douglas over to the left, like they've been doing up this whole time. I guess it's because Douglas was doing so well at right guard, they didn't want to mess with that, and I can understand that. But it really exposed all over again the problem of depth that we have with this offensive line. If Albert or Pouncey or James or Douglas or anybody on the starting line goes, we have a serious drop-off to whoever's next.
Yeah, I would agree for sure. I mean, there's five guys, and then that's it. I mean, there's five guys. We need them all out there every snap, period, or we're hurting. I can't imagine.
Problem.
Yeah, that is a serious problem, but I think that's the hand we're dealt this season. I don't see how that really gets that much better this season. I mean, it's fingers crossed on the line. We better hope there's not an injury for sure.
Well, what I'm hoping for is that the Dolphins will manage to I'm hoping that this was a game like they're still developing. It's still a little bit rusty. They're still trying to figure out how to play together in real game situations because the starters have not played that much at all. And that's the case with every preseason game. It's always, okay, they play a little bit here, they play a little bit here, and then they're done and the backups get the rest of the games.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm hoping that what this was just a bit of rust on the part of the players, but there were a lot of things in coaching wise that I was not happy with either, and I have to admit, I'm probably going to hear a lot from people who are going to be telling me Philbin sucks, Coyle sucks, Laser sucks. Like, okay, yes, can I not have my mentions filled with this, please? Just
I know.
Please don't.
I get so tired of hearing that. Philbin sucks. But since you mentioned there were some of the coaching things you didn't like, what did you see that you didn't like?
Well, for one thing, once again, it took a whole half for the Dolphins to realize, oh, yeah, we have Lamar Miller on the team, don't we? Let's try that. Because he ran the ball once, got stuffed. Ran the ball twice, got stuffed, and
that's pretty much
that was it.
Yeah,
that was it for the whole first half. Damian Williams got one run, and after that, he got stuffed. Nothing. No running for the rest of the game. Now, granted, I understand they didn't play that much. They played like a total of 5 minutes on offense for the whole first half, so I guess I can't complain too much because it's not like they had the ball very long to actually do anything with it. But the fact that it took Tannehill to throw the ball almost 40 times to get just to what we got to is annoying. I don't want Tannehill to have to throw the ball 40 times a game if we have a running back who 1 year ago is a 1,000-yard rusher, and today Lamar Miller on just 13 rushes got over 50 yards rushing. That is a problem for me.
Yeah.
You need to use him and use him well. You don't take the ball away from him if he's being productive. I can understand if it's not working, like you keep trying and trying and trying and trying and nothing happens. But he ran the ball 13 times, 11 of those times in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And he wound up getting 53 yards.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's 4.1 yards a carry. So let him run no more.
And that's on the low end for him, too. I mean, that's the low end of his productivity. Usually he even has higher. So, but there's nothing wrong with 4.1 yards per carry.
No, that's a really good number. And then he had the one catch for 22 yards on the screen pass. I mean, like, they have to use Miller and the running backs in ways other than just – this looked like a very vanilla offense, except for a few except for a few good plays that I saw that I really liked. The Jarvis Landry taking the handoff, that was a surprise. I didn't see that happening. But even when it did work the one time
yes.
they used it, so it's like, hey, any chance you get the ball in Landry's hands, it's good with me. Not only does it make things happen on the field, it also gives me fantasy points, so I'm not going to complain. So
nice.
Well, I have Tannehill and Landry on the same team. I needed them to be those. I need that 1-2 punch.
Well, Jarvis did a little bit for you, but I mean, Tannehill, felt like he just looked a little off this game. He just didn't look great. Kind of reminds me of last year's opening season game where he, even though we won that game, he did not look super sharp at all. But I hope it does not take, not that he had a bad game, which is good. If this is the worst we get from him, we can live with it. But I want to see him on fire. You know what I mean? I want to see him clicking a little bit better than we saw today.
A little bit, more like a lot. Is what we like. Everybody looks at Tannehill and sees that he got this big money, and it's like, okay, you either a superstar or you suck again. So, okay, fine. Money makes everybody want you to be a star. I understand, but if we want to give Tannehill a grade, here's a grade for him. I'm going to give him a C+.
Yeah,
Tannehill.
I could see
Tannehill,
that.
Tannehill was not good today. He was okay. He was okay. But okay is not what we're looking for. We're looking for good. And I know quarterback rating means absolutely nothing, but 93.5, and that's only a few points than his league. That's only a few points down from his league average last year. So I mean, and look, 226 yards. He could have had three touchdowns as opposed to the one that he managed to throw.
Yeah,
and that is the biggest thing for me, because twice he had a shot at making the big touchdown, and he didn't get there. First one was Deion Sims. He had him wide open in the end zone. He threw too deep for him, and it was out of bounds anyway. And then he wound up getting knocked out with a concussion. I don't know how serious it is yet. I'm assuming he won't be playing for some time. So expect to see Jake Stoneburner or Tim Samish coming up soon, or maybe they're going to sign somebody. I'm not holding my breath on that because they like their people.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one, Kenny Stills, who he also threw too far out of bounds. And that was a chance for a big play as well. He was wide open again, and Tannehill threw too far to the right and wound up pulling Stills away from the ball. Yep. Those are bigger mistakes and bigger issues that I have than with anything else that I saw. He did throw in a few almost interceptions. Those are problems too, but... And, of course, the ball getting deflected at the line of scrimmage. At this point, I've stopped caring because it seems like every game, there's at least one. So it's like when it happens, I tweet it out. Okay, he got his ball deflected at the line of scrimmage. Now that we got that tradition out of the way, let's play football.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's been that way since game one he ever played.
Since his rookie year.
2012 against the Houston Texans. And I mean, how many balls I can't count how many he got tipped at the line in that game. That's just been, he's not a bad at it. It doesn't happen as much as it did in his rookie year, but it still seems to happen more to him than other quarterbacks for whatever reason. I don't know.
I'm going to start counting one per game. It's like, okay, there it is. One. Okay. Now we can move on. Oh, week two. Okay. One. Okay. We did it again. Every week. I feel like every week there's at least one pass. Because I remember there was a long stretch of games where I had to tweet, it happened. Let's move on.
Yeah. What surprised me about the two big passes he missed, the one that would have been the touchdown to Sims and the other long one to Stills, is he was on the run in those, and generally he's extremely accurate on the run, but he missed both those on the run. And I'd say the one to Stills, he was on the run. The one to Sims, he was more on the jog. If I could say that. And I don't know. I mean, the Stills one, maybe it was a little tougher because we didn't really see the whole part because it was hard to see what Sims exactly was doing when he was breaking away from. Felt like he should have got that. But the Stills one. But the Sims one, the guy was just wide open. And he tried. He laid out. Sims gave everything he had to try and stay in bounds and catch that ball. He gave his all. I mean, I feel like Tannehill should almost feel bad about him getting hurt on that one. Honestly.
He should. We are not the Ryan Tannehill fan club. We are the Ryan Tannehill defenders when he needs defending, and we are the people who call him out when he needs to be called out. Ryan Tannehill did not have a good game today. He did not.
No.
A lot of it had to do with the running game not working, so that forced him to have to do everything. So when there's no running game, or at least when they're not attempting to do a running game, it becomes very difficult to make things happen because you become one-dimensional. And not only that, you took away one of your formations because now you don't have second tight end because that's a formation the Dolphins like to use a lot. They like to have Sims and Cameron on the field at the same time. And without that, and mind you, Jeff Linkenbach wound up playing some tight end, which is nuts.
Well,
if you ask me.
You have one tight end. Jordan Cameron can't play every single snap unless you decide to go four wide, which when I was doing – today I did a broadcast for those of you that didn't listen or didn't know. I did a broadcast through Rabble TV, and I broadcasted the game. And the second Sims went out, I told the listeners, I said, we only have two tight ends, people. So now Jordan Cameron is literally playing every snap, and if not, they're going to have to go four wide or figure out something else. So, I mean, I think it's crazy to only have two tight ends, and this shows why.
And now we're going to wind up having two tight ends again, because let me tell you something. Jordan Cameron stepped up when we needed him. 4 receptions, 73 yards. He showed up and made things happen. He did what we expected him to do in the preseason. He actually came out and balled in ways that we didn't see coming. Certainly not me. I thought it was going to be all day wide receivers, running backs, and Jordan Cameron would get the ball every once in a while. But Tannehill and Cameron really made a connection today, because it's like, okay, let me just throw it out there. Bam, I got him. That's the kind of target that he's been missing, and that's kind of why people were upset that DeVante Parker didn't get to play. I honestly don't care that DeVante Parker did not play, because with minus one mistake that he made, Rishard Matthews showed up and did what we expected him to do. He was solid. He caught Tannehill's only touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. Matthews can play football. I am not in a hurry to bring in DeVante Parker unless you're telling me, oh, it's the red zone and we want a jump ball kind of guy. That I can understand. That I'm okay with. But don't throw Parker in just because, oh, we have this new toy, let's go play with it. No, Parker's still learning the ropes. Parker is still trying to figure out how the playbook works. Parker is still figuring out how to run the routes, when to run the routes, the timing of the offense. Because you can learn the playbook all you want, but it does not substitute for actually going out there and playing and getting experience. I am all for letting Parker slowly ease his way into the Dolphins offense, because until he shows up, Rishard Matthews can handle it. And I'm getting a little tired. I can only imagine what Matthews feels, that everybody's sleeping on him all the time. I feel like Matthews can ball. He can start for a lot of NFL teams, and we're treating him like he doesn't even exist because we want to play with a new toy named Parker.
No, I agree. And I mean, it caught my eye, or I should say I noticed about maybe third quarter, I realized, okay, they haven't brought Parker in this game. They're not likely going to, but I honestly didn't even make mention of it, to tell you the truth. It just wasn't worth mentioning. They're not bringing him in. They got 4 good wide receivers. We saw Ann Cameron. We saw Jennings makes a play. You know Landry is just a beast. They had Matthews making plays. I mean, I wasn't worried about it, honestly. I mean, Stills was out there. I don't know if Stills actually caught. Yeah, he caught one or two passes.
He caught one pass. It was for 12 yards. He got targeted 3 times, though.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying from the beginning I'm not super sold on Stills in this offense. I understand that he's there as the deep threat, quote unquote, but whatever. That's how I feel about it. Whatever. I don't know that he really brings a ton to our offense.
He said up front when he signed he wasn't necessarily here to replace Mike Wallace. That narrative is pretty much media driven. Stills is more multi-purpose than Wallace ever was, and while he's fast, this offense is not predicated on how well can you throw the deep ball. It helps open things up if you can do it. But this offense is run on short passes, intermediate passes into the seam, which is what we saw today. And barring a few mistakes, that's what we saw. Now, if the problem was that since there was no balance and there was simply no way to make things work, I mean, the first drive of the game, let's just take that.
Okay.
Tannehill threw the ball once, and then Miller got stuffed twice.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes fourth down.
Yes, that's how it went. That's exactly how it went.
So the drive broke down because you ran when you should have thrown and thrown when you should have ran. So this is the problem. It's about the play calling. You're hoping against hope that it works. If you're on third down and it's not like a 1-yard deal, you should be trying to pass the ball. I don't see why this is so hard to figure out. This whole offense is built on short passes, like 2 or 3 yards, and then let your wide receivers do the rest, which is what Jarvis Landry pretty much did all game. Landry got 8 receptions and 53 yards.
Mm-hmm. On 12 targets, I think.
Yes. I had the box score in front of me, and no, I'm not a box score watcher, so anybody accusing me of that, shut up right now.
Well, hey, we live in a statistically driven world when it comes to football.
World.
Yes. Yes. Now, I will go, and you mentioned that Tannehill's passer rating was, what, about 93, something like that?
93.5.
Yeah, which, again, I'm
like
not...
Like it matters.
Yeah, I know it doesn't matter necessarily, the number, but I will say that that looked a lot better than last year when he the first three games of the season he was in the 70s. So, you know, it's,
yeah, well,
it's,
again,
it's,
man,
again, if this is the low end for, and we've talked about this with Tannehill, you know, he's going to give you some lower games and some higher games. What we've always wanted is we wanted a few more higher games, and we wanted those lower games to not be so low. So if this is one of them, I can live with it. I just don't want to see it every week.
But here's the problem, Ron. It's not like this low game was against somebody like the Bills or the Jets. This was the Redskins. The Redskins have very little going for them on defense, and barring and except for a few homers, which I saw on Twitter today being tweets being retweeted that somebody was saying that talent wise the Redskins were better all across the board, including offense, their quarterback, their secondary, everybody on the Redskins better than Miami.
That's like, absolutely not true. I mean, I'm
that's
sorry,
not
but
true.
You ask 99 NFL experts, and they're going to tell you that roster is not a great roster.
No, Ron, no, don't even say NFL experts, because you know what? The experts don't really know what's going on. Ask fans who have taken it upon themselves to learn about every team in football. Ask any fan from the from every team besides the Dolphins and the Redskins, and they'll probably tell you the Dolphins are more talented, because they're going to know Sue. They're going to know Tannehill. They're going to know that they drafted Parker. They're going to know that they have Stills and Jennings and Miller and all these guys.
And Wake. And,
and then the Redskins have Kirk Cousins, DeSean Jackson. Okay, you have DeSean Jackson. Alfred Morris. I suppose you can make that argument because Alfred Morris is a bruiser and he'll just run you over.
Which we saw several times today.
Which we saw several times today, which is a problem.
Big time.
Who was it that – I believe it was Alfred Morris trucked somebody. I can't remember who it was.
It was probably a linebacker. That's generally what we seem to see all day.
No, it wasn't a linebacker. It was somebody in the secondary. Oh, yeah, it was Bryce McCain. Like, he made a great interception today, but let me tell you something. I still prefer McCain in the slot. That's where he belongs. That's where he excels. That's where he needs to be doing things. Because in the boundary, he wasn't terrific. But I guess you can attribute that to, once again, the offense for the Redskins pretty much being short passes. And then if you can't tackle them, well, sucks to be you. That's kind of what this whole game was.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. They kind of fed us our own medicine a little bit that way. I mean, they just did a lot of short pass, but we weren't there ready to make the tackle, or we'd miss the tackle. That seemed to happen.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
Times.
Here's the difference. The Redskins ran the ball more than twice as much as we did.
Oh yeah. Well,
let me read the box score right here. Lamar Miller 13 carries, Jarvis Landry 1, Tannehill had 3, and Damien Williams had 1. Alfred Morris ran 25 times. That's 7 more times than the whole Dolphins offense combined. That's incredible to me. And to think that they also had runs from Matt Jones, Chris Thompson, Crowder, and even Kirk Cousins tried to run around for a little while. But, I mean, they ran the ball more than twice as much as the Dolphins did. 37 times total running the football. Who has more balance?
Oh, definitely them, for sure.
If this had been a game against the Bills or the Jets or somebody with those elite defenses, they're screwed.
Yeah.
The Dolphins would have been screwed.
Oh, no,
really.
For sure. If we brought that game and we were like, if we'd been playing Buffalo or something, we'd have gotten destroyed today. Let's just face it. I hate to say it. It hurts. It pains me to say it. We'd have been playing Buffalo today or several other teams. We'd have gotten wrecked. Agreed.
Agreed. Like, yeah. You know, is there even a discussion about it? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was just, ugh, I don't know, just frustrating. But on the other hand, you got to look at it this way. You could almost say that Washington Redskins, game plan wise, came out and executed almost everything exactly how they wanted and still only came away with 10 points and ended up losing the game. Now, whether you want to say that's because Miami's just a more talented team, simple as that, and the talent, you know, bared itself out, or that, you know, Washington just sucks, and that is what it is. They're just not very good. For whatever reason, somehow, some way, as good as they seem to do and as bad as we seem to do, we still ended up beating them by 7 points.
that was a miracle play by Jarvis Landry on the punt return, man. Because let me tell you something. If Landry doesn't return that punt, I'm not convinced we win.
Yeah, it's.
I'm really not.
It may not. You're right. I mean, that game ends up. It's a different game if he doesn't return. Let's just put it that way. We don't. We can't go back and replay it. But it's a different.
Well, we
can't
go back and. Well, well, okay.
We can go back and play what happened, but we can't go back and take it away if we play it. It's a different game. We don't know what, whether they win or lose, but it's definitely a different game if he doesn't return that punt. But I was saying during the broadcast too that I think that Landry needs to be out there returning the punts and returning the kickoffs. I'm sorry, he does. He's better than James, period. And you need the best guys doing everything out there that they should be doing, period, in the story. You don't at any other position put somebody somewhere else that isn't better because you're afraid they'll get hurt. I'm sorry. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if you agree with me on that, but he needs to be out there returning the kickoffs.
Ron, he tried to return the kick and knocked the ball out of his own hands with his knee. I don't need to say anything else.
Yeah. So it's time to just kind of put – I'm sorry. I just ready to put that experiment to rest already after one game. Let's get Landry out there doing it.
That experiment should have been over before the last preseason game.
I agree. And, you know, Antonio Brown, who, you know, sorry to say, he is probably likely a much better receiver than Landry. He's their number one receiver, maybe one of the – at least a top two, three, four receiver in the league. He returns the kickoff.
He's definitely a top receiver.
Yes, exactly. And Edelman, who is not necessarily a top receiver in the league, but he's the top receiver.
But he's one of the greatest top targets.
Exactly. He's out there doing the kickoffs, and I'm sure there's many other examples we can come up with. I don't understand the resistance of not putting Landry out there. I don't get it.
Because people are so scared and they understand.
We're talking about the coaching staff. That's the people we're talking about.
The coaching? Well, you know, people are resistant to let Landry – fans are resistant to let Landry do that too. And I can understand why. Because if Landry goes down, let me actually go here. I think that this is actually a detriment to Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me read this scenario to you. If we are so scared that Tannehill's top target can get hurt, and oh my God, what will we do if Landry gets hurt? Is this because we don't trust Tannehill to have the same rapport with whoever would come in to replace him? That's all I can think of. I understand Landry's really good, but you see these other teams like the Steelers and the Patriots and all these guys sending their top players out there to in harm's way, and they really don't care. They just let them go, and they let them play football. And if somebody gets hurt, next man up. They're not worried about it. Why are we so worried about it? Is it because we're afraid Tannehill won't be as good?
I'm not sure. I really don't know, tell you the truth. But
it's something to speculate.
Let's talk about Juice for a second. This guy, man, I've been talking about it all off season. This guy's a beast. In my opinion, he's an absolute beast. I mean, he is a beast. We need to get this guy the ball in his hands every single way we can get it in his hands, period.
Well, we did today.
Yeah, they need to do it more.
Sort of letting him play quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. They need to do it more. They need to be getting him this ball because, well, I got to say at first it was quiet. At first the entire offense is quiet because they were sitting on the sidelines. But and how about Cameron? I mean, Cameron really stepped up, and it seems like after the Sims injury, right after that, all of a sudden it was Cameron. You know, thanks. Where was this guy during the preseason? Who cares? It was preseason. I'm just glad to see it now in the regular season. So there were bright spots, and there were things to celebrate. The game was not a total disaster by any stretch of the imagination. It just didn't go how we thought it would go. Let's face it.
No, what we were expecting was it's going to be 40 bazillion to zero. Kirk Cousins is going to go for negative 60 yards passing. He's going to get sacked 20 times. That's what we were expecting.
So what I was expecting. I'm not going to lie.
Anything less than that is suddenly means that the Dolphins are terrible and they're going to go 8-8. I saw a lot of tweets like that, and I was like, are you kidding? It's one game. We just started.
And
of
we
course,
won it. In,
and we won. And people, but of course, people were predicting 8-8 before the season even started. So I'm not even going to go there. It seemed that from between the last preseason game and the week to leading up to the Redskins, there was like this time to ferment and remind people. Oh yeah, Joe Philbin's still our head coach, and oh yeah, Kevin Coyle's still our defensive coordinator. The the internal hatred for these two coaches had time to fester until this game showed up, and it all got unleashed when the Dolphins did not come out on firing on all cylinders and making the Redskins look foolish like they wanted.
I will say, and this will segue us to the defense a little bit, I was on the broadcast bitching about Coyle some. Because we heard all offseason they were going to simplify this defense a little bit, and I got to be honest with you, I saw some players in some positions, and I was like, why is that person there? Why is Rashad Jones doing that right now? Why is he coming up to the line?
What are you referring to?
I'm referring to once where I saw OV out in the defensive backfield. I have no freaking idea why he was back there. I'm like, how is he back there, the one making that tackle? That makes no sense. And it's not like he was giving chase from behind. He was back there. I don't get it. And that's twice now in 2 years I've seen that happen, and it blows my mind. And every time it ends up a big play for the offense. I also saw a play where Rashad Jones, it looked like he was coming up to probably protect against the run, but I don't know if it was the way they wanted him positioned or it was what he decided to do. One way or the other, he ended up giving it away too early. And, of course, they got thrown right over the top for a 20-yard gain, right in the spot he should have freaking been. So I can't know if that's Coyle or Jones, but the OV thing, that is freaking Coyle. And, we saw that last year. They got to knock that crap off. The talent is enough that you don't need to do crazy things to be successful.
Well, the talent is enough if you're not talking about the linebackers. The linebackers were
okay. Yes. Yeah. Well, is that a surprise? I mean, I'm not. They had Vigil in the game. They said, okay, forget Shepard. Everyone was complaining Shepard sucks.
Shepard and Vigil
Shepard
kept
sucks.
Rotating.
Yeah, and then they put Vigil in the game. I mean, an undrafted free agent. You know, Coyle had to be feeling like we need to do something here. You know, he doesn't trust those rookies. So not only did he trust a rookie to get some playing time, he trusted an undrafted free agent.
So does that mean we're going to give him credit, or we're going to say we're going to?
I will give him credit for taking a shot. I will give him credit there. No, I'm going to give him credit for putting Vigil in. I'm not saying Vigil was any better, but I'll give him credit for doing it.
Vigil could at least tackle.
This is true.
Shepard was getting knocked around. Shepard runs like he has a piano on his back.
Nice. I mean, so what's the answer then? Go ahead and put Meese in the middle, and we're going to bring Vigil, and he's going to be our starting middle linebacker is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Why not? Season, he's not going to be any worse than Shepard.
Next season, he's going to be more polished, and he's going to know what he's doing because he's been there before. Throw him into the fire. You threw Tannehill into the fire, and it's paid off in the future. Mm-hmm. You threw Landry into the fire. It paid off now. Let Vigil go in and give it a shot. Yeah. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Because if he doesn't do it, you can just go right back to Shepard's level of mediocrity and pretend that everything's hunky-dory.
Let's talk about the way somehow, some way, I can't believe I'm saying these words. I didn't think these words would leave my mouth. Let's talk about the way the Washington Redskins seem to neutralize Ndamukong Suh. No other teams, teams played Detroit, then no one ever seemed to neutralize this guy. But somehow, some way, they figured out some magic formula to make this guy just not really be able to make the plays he normally makes. Whether, like you said, chop blocking him, double, triple teaming him, throwing a shoulder on him. But running around him, running to the left, running to the right, letting him penetrate a little and running around him. I mean, they had a good plan. The coaches, Philbin got outplanned in this game. I'm going to just say that right off the bat.
Jay Gruden took some lessons from his brother, probably threw some spider XY2 banana or something to mess with the Dolphins defense.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what did you see, man? I mean, I'm seeing this correct, right? What I'm saying is correct.
Sue was getting chop blocked. Sue was getting double, triple teamed, and you add to that the fact that Alfred Morris is by nature a bruiser back. Who is able to get people out of his way. He's not going to outrun you, but he will knock you down and he'll truck you like he did Bryce McCain. So you add that, you add the double teaming of Sue, you combine that with Morris and a terrible linebacker core, because even Jelani Jenkins did not look good today.
No, I tell you what, the first half of the game, Meese was all over the place, but then he kind of disappeared.
Nobody wants to hear it, but Meese is probably the second best linebacker we have, and he's starting If this is only the first game, so I'm not going to overreact and think that, oh my God, Jenkins sucks now. But Misi is a lot better than people give him credit for. And the fact of the matter is that since he hasn't been healthy, people think he sucks. That's not how it works. It's not. There are injury-prone superstars out there. And when they're playing, they show how good they are. I'm not saying Misi's a superstar. That'd be blasphemous. But he doesn't suck. He's a solid linebacker, and when we need him, he makes things happen. Everybody has tackling problems. I'm not even going to go there anymore because it seems like it's actually an exception when somebody knows how to tackle. Cough, cough, Zach Vigil. But Misi is probably the second best linebacker we have on the whole team. And I'm sorry to anybody who thinks Misi is terrible and needs to get out as soon as possible. If we did not have Misi, it would be a lot worse.
Oh, for sure. So you're saying that Jenkins is the best linebacker we have. Are you saying Vigil is?
I'm saying Jenkins right now. Yeah, Vigil could be in a few years. But Jenkins right now is the best because he at least knows he's a gamer. He doesn't play well in practice. He'll be able to – he covers okay, and he knows how to stop the run. But today was not his day. Jordan Reed was all over the place. And that is unacceptable to me. It was either Jenkins or Rashad Jones, and Jones can't cover. And I don't know why he kept going out in coverage. I don't know why he kept wound up on an island with these people who are better than him. They were asking for offensive pass interference on that touchdown pass. Uh-huh. There was no pass interference. He was falling backwards.
No, he was falling backwards. And I said that in the broadcast. I saw them asking for it, and the ref shaking his head no. It was clear right from the day, and I'm a very biased Dolphins fan, that was not offensive pass interference. You know, Jones just isn't the best coverage guy. He fell back, touchdown. Simple as that.
So I don't understand why they feel that it's okay for him to be out there by himself, but what do I know?
But then again, you have to say, when he was able to play the safety position from a non-coverage standpoint, he balled out.
He balled out.
So when you put him in the right places and to do the right things, he made plays the whole game.
Jones is an elite ball hawk, and he's awesome in run support. But do not try to make him cover. It will come back to bite you. It just will. Like, don't even chance it. It will.
You know, another guy I thought that looked really good was Jamar Taylor. I thought Jamar Taylor played well today. Now, what are your thoughts?
People will look at the penalty that negated the wake play and assume that Taylor did terrible because that's just how people are. But I liked a lot of what I saw from Jamar Taylor.
Yeah, I did.
He was aggressive. He made his tackles. There's that exception again. He actually made his tackles. And when somebody was trying to escape, I saw him wrap his arms around the dude's ankle like, nope, you're staying right here. You're going to have to drag me if you want me. So that's why I like Jamar Taylor so much. He's not a shutdown corner, and he may never be a shutdown corner, but at the very least, what he can give you is solid cornerback play. At the very least, he'll be able to make his tackles, because Bryce McCain got trucked. That was not pretty.
Yeah, and but Bryce McCain also made some nice plays out there, too.
He made the interception. That was a really good play. And at first, I wasn't sure he made that interception, but
I didn't
I'm
either
glad they gave it to him.
Yeah, well, they watched. Once they showed it two or three times, they showed one angle where you could clearly see hip in full control, because I was questioning it, too. I was like, I don't know if this is going to stand, but it did stand. What about Akins? I felt like Akins was okay. He wasn't really making big plays, but he didn't cost the team much either. What did you see there?
Akins was good enough to play. Akins has the ability to be a really good free safety, but he needs more time to develop before we can actually say that he's a really good player. He's good. He can be better, but he wasn't spectacular. He was solid.
Yeah, he was solid. That's fine.
He was good enough.
I'm fine with that.
He almost had an interception on his box score, but
he kind of tripped up a little bit there. If he hadn't quite tripped up in that duck that Kirk Cousins threw, and then of course Brent Grimes. The only way they could neutralize Brent Grimes was to like offensive pass interference or holding. I mean, that's the only way they could. Grimes was Grimes. Simple
Grimes.
As that. Didn't lose a step.
No. I'm going to tell you this. It's a good thing DeSean Jackson wound up getting knocked out of the whole game.
Why do you say that?
Because Jackson had Grimes beat. And if he hadn't pulled his hamstring or whatever that had knocked him out of the game, he would have been gone.
Okay, if the pass had been perfect and yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, it's one play. No one's not going to get
beat. It's one play, but that's the only play we saw from him. What if he had stayed in the whole game?
I don't know. I saw Grimes making plays, man. I saw the only way they stopped him
after Jackson was gone. That's the thing, man. It's not. I'm not taking away what Grimes did today, but what I'm saying is that he wasn't playing their best. Pierre Garçon, with all due respect, is good. But he's nowhere near DeSean Jackson, and he's nowhere near number one receiver material.
No, he's a number two. He's a number two receiver. I mean, that's his place in the NFL. Garçon is. I mean, Roberts is a number three. He's a slot guy.
Roberts has butterfingers.
You know, they have guys with very specific sets of skills. That sounds very Liam Neeson of me. I mean, that's the way their players are. You got this guy who does this guy who does that, this guy who does that. That's what makes their roster kind of limited, and part of the reason why you got Morris, who really just only does this, and you got Kirk Cousins, who only does this good. I mean, we should have been able to neutralize these guys a lot better because we know what they do well and we know what they don't do well. They don't have receivers like us that can line up in different places of the field and do different things. Their guys can't do that. They're all very in their niche. This is what I do, kind of Mike Wallace-y in that way, honestly. What? Just as we wrap up here, because 45 minutes flies by fast, man. Yep. What are your overall thoughts as far as after you watch this game? Are you feeling like this is stuff to build on? Are you seeing stuff that, like, man, this, I'm scared about this?
The Dolphins won the game. Now it's time for them to go home, lick their wounds, and get ready to go play Jacksonville. I'm hoping they've learned their lesson. They've realized, okay, we didn't do good this time. Now let's go back out there and fix the problem, because there were a lot of problems that need to be fixed. They need to get some balance going in the offense. They need to make sure that Tannehill tightens up his game. I'm hoping that this is just a matter of him being rusty in regular season action, and hopefully that was all there is to it. And the Dolphins need to get their defense functioning properly, hopefully with Zach Vigil in the middle where he should be and where he should have been all along, because Kelvin Shepherd is bad.
Yeah, he wasn't good, man. He wasn't good. I honestly feel a little better with Vigil in there right now than Shepherd, but Vigil's very inexperienced. He may get picked on by certain quarterbacks that if they get enough film on him, if Brady gets enough film on him in six games to figure out what he does and does not do well, he will tear him up. But he'll do the same to Shepherd, because Shepherd was bad. Shepherd was like Wheeler bad today.
And he's in the middle. So
yes,
he's actually supposed to be the captain.
Yeah, no, he was the captain of suck today.
Let me just say this. If it's me, and this is just my opinion on this, and you, anybody can be, feel free to disagree, Zach Vigil's floor is Shepard's ceiling. Because Shepard's not getting any better. Vigil has a lot of room to grow.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, he has a much higher ceiling. I mean, obviously, an undrafted free agent, this is his first game. But now, I will say this as well. Even though Vigil didn't go in and make good plays, he went in and went solid. We saw that last year from Chris McCain, who, by the way, was a ghost today. Was that guy even on the field? Did he even play?
He was inactive. He didn't play.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Gray and AJ Francis, Hazel, all those guys, they were not even.
You know, active. I was looking for, listen, during the broadcast, I said, boy, I sure would love a list of the inactives, but I was guessing AJ Francis, Jonas Gray, and Hazel, but I did not know that Chris McCain wasn't there. Well, that.
Will Davis was out there, was off the list, too.
Yeah, okay. So, well, you only can have active at what, 47 guys, 45 guys?
46 guys.
Okay. So that leaves you seven. What, you have to make seven guys inactive? Did I do that math right? So that's, you got to make some choices there. But remember last year we saw Chris McCain come out that first game against the Patriots and ball out. Well, I won't say ball out. Make some plays, and then he disappeared for the rest of the year. Now you can blame that on the coaching staff, or you can say it was him. Let's see how Vigil does if they throw him out there in week two. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. That's the difference. It's that they let McCain play, and then that was the end of that. Vigil needs to go back out there and try again.
Yeah.
And then let's see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Because as far as I'm concerned, he did good. What else can you expect from him? If you want him to suddenly be Jelani Jenkins' caliber of coverage, nobody can do that. Sorry, that's not going to happen. But if you want him to make tackles, by all means, let him get out there. He's certainly faster than Shepard.
Oh, definitely, definitely. He was a nice grab by by the GM and you know, whoever you want to say did it, whether it was Tannenbaum, whether it was Hickey, most likely Hickey.
Hickabaum.
Yeah, Hickabaum. Nice. He was a nice grab by Hickabaum, for sure, man. Anything else there before we wrap it up? Any other thoughts?
Honestly, no. As far as I'm concerned, this game is over. Let's blot it out of our minds. It's a W on the schedule. Now let's go play Jacksonville. 1 week at a time. Let's go play Jacksonville.
And I will say that I do feel that even though... Did Jacksonville win today? Or I don't think they did, right?
No, they got creamed by Carolina.
Okay. Oh, dude, that's not a team to get creamed by. Even though they got creamed by Carolina, if the Dolphins fans and or the Dolphins players take that team for granted, they will be sorry because that is honestly a little bit more talented team or more talented of a roster than Washington is. That's just the truth. They have more receivers that can do more things. They have a few more guys on defense that can do more things. So they got T.J. Yeldon. He's probably a different runner than Moore. He's not going to run you over. But
which I would prefer because at least then they can't. This is the problem the Dolphins have. They have problems with teams who say, we're going to run the ball on you. Stop us if you can. And we never can. It's those teams that are like, okay, let's see what happens. Let's try this, and then we'll throw some running games in. Though the teams like the Patriots with LeGarrette Blount, those are the teams the Dolphins have real problems with. Those people who want to punch you in the mouth and say, you can't stop us. Don't even try. And they can't.
Yeah, which we thought that Sue was supposed to solve that, but week one, as of right now, one game, and only one game, Sue did not solve that problem.
Not at all.
Not in game one. But there is still 15 games and hopefully more left to play. Right now, the entire AFC East is 1-0. And if you watched every game, which I did not watch the game, but if you just look at the scores, yeah, we didn't look like the best. We looked like the worst of the four. But I just saw two of the games, and the other I just saw the scores. So, all right, why don't you give everybody your contact information and whatnot there, Lewis?
All right, you can find me on Twitter at FL Sport Debater. And you can check me out on, you can check my workout on finmaniacs.com. I'm actually working on my report right now. So make sure you follow me. Make sure you follow the website at finmaniacs. Make sure you just keep an eye on what's going on and make sure you tune in more for Unsquish the Fish. Not that I need to tell you guys since you're listening now.
Exactly. And you also have a podcast, right? Finmaniacs. You guys are doing a podcast on Mondays.
We are doing a podcast on Mondays. We're currently in the process of trying to work some new ways of doing it out. So hopefully we'll be moving forward with that project going into the future. But if it doesn't work out, then we'll be on Google Hangouts as usual, and we'll be doing a live show. So we'll see how it goes. We will be doing a show tomorrow. It's just a question of how the show's going to work.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. And as far as for Unsquish the Fish, this is going to be the first week of our 2-a-week series where we do a recap show on Sunday nights and a preview show on Wednesday/Thursday. I'm not promising a day on that. Each is probably going to be about 45 minutes to an hour tops. And the honest reason for that is it actually costs money to store all these podcasts onto a host. And, as many shows as I want to do, I would run out of money if I try to do them too many times. So I don't currently have a donate button. Perhaps I should get one. But I obviously my show is free and will always be free. You could contact me at Unsquish the Fish. I did the live broadcast today through Ravel.tv. I will be setting up a few more of those. I don't know exactly what week's yet. Possibly even this coming week, we'll be doing that as well. Thank you very much for listening. Fins up. We got the win, so let's not hang our heads low. We're 1-0. Fins up, guys. See you next time.